It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, and welcome back to the CannonCast, a Columbus Blue Jackets podcast brought to you by The Cannon. Visit jacketscannon.com for all of our written content. I'm your host, PD. I am joined today by Dale Bloom. Dale, how's it going, man?
It's going well. Happy day after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We play a father-son Super Bowl day flag football game every single year.
Nice.
So the Monday afterwards is always a rough day for me. So limping around the house all day.
Yeah, what's worse, the sore muscles or the hangover?
Right.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was a great game. Went a little late. You know, one thing I like about the Super Bowl usually is that it, you know, can wrap up, you know, at a reasonable hour. But I'm not going to complain about the last football game of the year going to overtime. So we got a little bonus football for it. So yeah, that was pretty good. And we had gone with a little bit of a hockey dry spot there as the Jackets had their bye week. I did enjoy All-Star weekend though. I thought the skills competition, the way they changed that up was, I think for the better. I think it worked really well. I also just love the idea of Connor McDavid helping the league to design that and then going out and proving why he is the best player in the world. That was really cool.
Yeah. I enjoyed that a lot. You know, we spent some time kind of texting back and forth during that skills competition, and when it got to that one-on-one with the goalies and the skaters, I thought that was the best event of the whole night, and it was exciting watching the goalies. And then Gorgiev, right?
Yeah,
poking the puck away from McDavid twice to win the 100 G's. Man, that was good TV.
Yeah, and by him stonewalling McDavid, that allowed his teammate Cale Makar to win that event, which is pretty cool because he and McDavid were kind of neck and neck all night. So yeah, that was very high drama. There was a lot about that worked. So that's very, very exciting. So while the Jackets are back playing, they've had one game since the break and they're about to head off on some a road trip here. But I wanted to sort of do a halfway mark of the season check-in to sort of rate where all of the players are at this year. What kind of, how would we grade their effort so far through, you know, 51 games or so of the season? So before we get into that though, because I want to check something at the end, so let's start with predictions here. What letter grade would you assign to the Blue Jackets so far for this season, whether it's relative to the rest of the league, relative to expectations, however you want to say that? How do you feel about this season so far from a letter grade standpoint?
part of me wants to be harsh, but I think to be fair, maybe I'll go with like a C minus. You know, bordering on a D plus. Based on expectations, I think that the team has been bad. You know, yeah. A lot of us had high expectations going in. But there's been stretches where they haven't played horribly. And it's hard to overlook individual progression and some of that going on with the team. So there are some positives. I think I go C minus.
Yeah. I think that seems pretty fair, for that. So we're going to go through the players here. So, for some context here, I did set a games cutoff of, well, I was going to go for 10, but there were two players that I didn't want to include that made that. Spencer Barton, who was no longer with the team. He was put on waivers. He's with Carolina now. And Patrick Laine, who's only played 18 games and, you know, he's had his injury issues. He's now in the player assistance program. And so I just feel like his grade's an incomplete. We really can't judge it because there's been so little there. So really this is the cutoff is 20 games. But I am including Daniil Tarasov there. So we do at least have two different goalies. So let's go ahead and start there actually with the goalies. Elvis Merzlikins. He has played in 29 games. He has a 9-11-7 record, 904 save percentage, 3.21 goals against average. What grade do you give Elvis?
I'm going to give Elvis a B minus. I think he's played well. He's been kind of the victim of some very bad defense. I think overall he has a good chance to play well each game. But it's the four or five just terrible mistakes by the defense of leaving him hanging out to dry that have hurt his stats. I think room for improvement, but I think that he's been better.
Yeah, no, I think I can agree with that. I can maybe even go up to a B, but that might be a little generous and a little bit being like, oh, he's really exceeded expectations from the last few seasons. But again, I think he's been good. Room for improvement, but also has improved significantly from before. So yeah, I agree with that. What about Tarasov, though?
C plus. He's been, I think, noticeably worse than Elvis. But I also think expectations not as high. He's led in a lot of head scratchers, I think, in some of his play, but he has had some solid games. So maybe the inconsistency hurts there a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. According to Hockey Reference, in his 10 games, he has three quality starts and also three really bad starts by their metrics there. I feel like, you know, we've seen kind of rough Tarasov more often than like really great Tarasov. There are like maybe a couple games where he was, I thought, really strong, but again, it's those softies. Like, so could I talk you down to just a C, a regular C? C plus seems a little ambitious to me.
That sounds fine to me.
Okay.
You have convinced me.
All right. So let us go to the forwards then. Let us start with Adam Fantilli.
I think Adam Fantilli deserves a solid B. And I think he has done well adjusting to the NHL. He has impressed at times. There's been times where he has looked overwhelmed. There's been some games where he's really struggled. He hasn't blown the doors off offensively. But he's done well, so I think that's where I would stick him is a B.
Without looking, where do you think he ranks on this team in points?
It's got to be like third, right?
It is third, exactly. He is one ahead of Marchenko, and he is behind Gaudreau and Werenski.
Yeah, PD, low bar is low.
I mean, that's true. That's true. So you were saying B for him?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I can go with that. Alexander Texier
has been super on and off for me this year.
Yeah, there's a question too of, you know, do you grade him on maybe what our preseason expectations are, or do you grade him on the role that he has been asked to fill for most of the season?
if you're grading him on a fourth line role, I mean, you've got to give him a somewhere in the range of a B, I think. Mm-hmm. In terms of the larger scheme of things, he every time he gets up in the top nine, he it seems like he can't cut it. Yeah. So I don't know how you want to factor that in there.
Yeah, yeah, that is a tough call. And I do feel like though he has been way more in that bottom six role. So is a B minus too generous, or can that sort of fit for what he's done as fourth line penalty killer, that sort of thing? I think he's been solid. B minus. Okay. And the one that we have talked so much about this season, Boone Jenner, the all-star.
I think I have to give Boone Jenner a B, and I'll tell you why. I think that, you know, we've talked a lot about how he's kind of misused. And so that can't be his fault. But he's also done really well in what he's been asked to do. He has, despite his stats, he struggles at 5-on-5. So in 36 games, he has 11 goals and zero assists at 5-on-5. Yeah. So not a good 5-on-5 player offensively. Power play, he's been great. He's been one of the shining parts on this team on the power play.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. he deserves a lot of credit for that. So, but I'm not sure I can go higher than a B.
Yeah, I think that seems reasonable. He's a good player. He's been productive, but he hasn't necessarily done everything that you would want out of a number one center, which is how he's been deployed. So speaking of another center, Cole Sillinger, who I think has been actually one of the pleasant surprises of the season.
Cole Sillinger has been a bright spot, I think. And the team as a whole has been inconsistent and up and down, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure there's a single player on this team that hasn't kind of been inconsistent in some way because of that. Cole Sillinger to me has shown steady progression as the season has gone along. And that's been, I think, what's been most impressive to me. He has 11 assists at 5-on-5 in 46 games, 18 points. He's been asked to play all up and down the lineup. I'm going to go B+.
Yeah, I can go for that for sure. And continuing with surprising centers, Dmitry Voronkov.
Voronkov is another guy too that has just blown expectations out of the water.
He has to be an A, right?
He's got to be an A. I don't see how you do it any other way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say there can't still be room for improvement, but he's pretty much done everything that's been asked of him. He's played a lot of different roles up and down the lineup. He's been wing, he's been center, but he has found a way to provide a spark when the team needs it. He has adjusted to the North American game a lot quicker than we maybe would have expected. But he has definitely been a bright spot for the season so far.
And he barely speaks any English at all. So
yeah. Yeah, but he's getting by. I think hockey's the universal language, yep, or something like that. Emil Bemström.
Bemström was really impressive to start the season. He was one of the bright spots, I thought, but he fell off a cliff. I mean, I think I'm gonna have to go. What do you think? D, C minus.
Oh, I mean, maybe even D minus.
Yeah,
is it would be that low? I think probably makes sense. I mean, and like when you look at some of all the turnover the roster's had and everything, and he has he's played in 30 games, but just like 11 points. He's been averaging, you know, under 14 minutes a game. I feel like he's just been so invisible so many nights. So, yeah, I think we got to go a D minus there for him. And then a player who has really also been very up and down, Jack Rozovic.
I think at this point, you got to grade him low. he was another guy too that had a very good start to the season.
Yeah.
Fell off a cliff. There's been many games this season where he's been the worst player on the ice for the Blue Jackets.
I feel like since he came back from injury, he just has not been anywhere near as noticeable as he was before he got hurt, which is too bad.
Yeah. What do we say there, D?
I mean, I was going to go C minus, which that's somewhat an acknowledgement of the stretch he had there for about 3 or 4 weeks where he was pretty good and pretty noticeable. You know, and
yeah, he also is another guy too that's maybe been a little snake bit.
Yeah.
Like a Johnny Gaudreau. There's been some times where he has made some nice plays and you know, I'm just looking at natural stat trick here. He's got at 5-on-5 this season, he's got a 3.7 3.7 something expected individual goals, and he's got 1 5-on-5 goal this season. So little snake bit.
Yeah. So C minus, is that?
Yeah.
Okay. A player that I know a lot of people in our comments love to complain about, and with the price tag, I get it. But Johnny Gaudreau.
I'm going to go.
Who does still lead the team in points, for the record.
He has played
in every game.
He does. I'm going to go. This is a tough one, PD. I'm going to go C+. It's hard for me to. He's another guy that's being asked to do something that's not in his wheelhouse. He's never been a player that's led the team. He's an elite support guy. And when you don't have the team around you to support you, it's difficult for a guy like that to perform, but he certainly has underperformed, right?
Right. Yeah. And C+ feels good to me because he has been productive, but not up to the level of what you expect from his role.
Yeah. And this, you know, the second half of, I guess we're in the second half of the season, but barely, but if you kind of split the currency, the games they've played into two halves, right? He's been a lot better in the second half. And there's been a lot of games where he's buzzing around on the ice and he's very obviously the best Blue Jacket on the ice, but just doesn't get the support from his teammates. And it's hard to knock a guy for that.
Well, and like you wrote about in the recap of Saturday's game against Tampa, he was the best player on the ice and really took that game over. And, you know, the Jackets didn't win, but that's not his fault because he did his part, you know? C+ for him. Justin Danforth, again, another guy who is there've been some times he's played up in the lineup, but he's been primarily a fourth liner. So, you know, maybe that affects how high we grade him or not.
I would say B+ for Justin Danforth. He was put into a position for part of the season in the top six where it's not a place that he belongs. That's not fair to him, but he's a very good bottom six forward in my opinion.
Yeah, that tracks for me. He's a good glue guy. He's a high energy guy. He, you know, it's kind of a utility knife because he can play up and down the lineup. Maybe played up in the lineup a little too much, but there were some, you know, injury issues and other stuff that maybe played into that. So I think he needs to stay in that bottom six role. That's the sweet spot for him. Looking back, we might consider this one a little bit too high, but I'm fine with it. Kent Johnson.
I'm going to give Kent a C. He's had some okay spots this year, but he's invisible in a lot of games. He's got a lot of room to grow. I've been a little disappointed in his production this season, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, can we maybe go even?
It's hard to grade the young guys.
Yeah, so could I bump him down to a C- or keep him at a C and bump Danforth down to a B?
Let's do that. Let's do C and bump Danforth down to a B.
Okay, I think that works. Because there have been the flashes of what makes him so good. I also feel like he's a better fit for not this system.
Yes.
So he's definitely sort of not in the right place for that, but I think he can become something very, very good if used correctly. but you know, he still has not consistently, you know, hit what he was doing last year. But there were some stretches there, especially when he first got back from Cleveland, that he was playing much better. He was having impact on the game. Some of those games where he was on a line with Cole Sillinger, you know, I thought they played really well together. So, but the lines keep shifting, and a lot of times Johnson's the one that ends up on a line of misfits, and I think it's to his detriment.
I was just about to say that. I feel like the coach doesn't do him a lot of favors in putting him in the best place to succeed.
Yep. Kirill Marchenko.
Marchenko.
I think he's got to be pretty high.
Yeah, I'm looking at the stats here, though. It's not as good as you think it is, though.
I mean, he's got 17 points
in 49 games, 5-on-5. That's not that great.
But 7 power play goals. He's like the one thing making the power play good. He's tied for the team lead in goals with Boone Jenner. He's, you know, he's playing 16 and a half minutes a night. He's getting, I think, the minutes that he deserves. He's an energy guy. I think he's helped to sort of get the other Russians on the team going.
There have been more than a few nights where he's been the best player on the team.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was thinking I wanted to give him like an A minus.
How about a B plus?
Okay. That's fair. But if you have natural stat trick still opened, what about has he been unlucky in terms of 5-on-5 individual goals?
No, he's actually above. He's got 6.85 individual expected goals, and he's got 8 5-on-5 goals.
Huh.
Yep.
Because he's another one that I would have expected would be snake bit, you know? Like, with the way he plays and how he can take over, like, you would think his numbers would be better.
He is, yes. And he is actually – here, let me sort this real quick. He is very high on the team. He is third in shot attempts on the team, behind Fantilli's first, Werenski is second. So this is a guy that is pretty consistently on the puck every game, you know, taking shots. So, you know, he's also a kind of guy too that strikes me as someone that doesn't really take a night off.
Yep. Yeah, I think you kind of know what you're getting from him every night. Yeah, for sure. Matthew Olivier.
Olivier is given a certain role in this team. Actually, let me pull this up while we're talking, because this might surprise you, because I was looking at this the other day. Olivier is not a bad player. He's actually been pretty good this year. I'm actually surprised that he hasn't gotten more games than he's had.
Yeah, he has played just under half, which is lower than you'd think.
And sorry, this is being slow. Matthew Olivier is number one on the team in expected goals for percentage.
What?
Yes, correct. So he is doing his job as a fourth liner. We saw too last year that he's got hands. You don't expect him to score. There are times when that fourth line is able to pin their opponents into their own zone and do a great job with that. So you're going to hate this. I'm going to go A minus.
You know what? you convinced me. I would have expected that, but I think it's a fair argument. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I probably should have been wait when I, you know, add these all up. I probably should have waited by minutes or games and usage, but
yeah.
And A minus for him. He's solid for what he is in that role. I'm glad though when he's not playing, so we have a fourth line that has Texier and Danforth on it, because that makes it a fourth line that can do more. You know, I didn't like it last year when Olivier was on that line and they were getting, you know, offensive zone starts and things like that, like late in games, which, like, that doesn't play with strength. But something that I think he is good at is when he's in the defensive zone, he's a guy that can get the puck out of the zone and get it up ice. You know, he's maybe not the one that you want finishing it, but even there, we saw last year, there were times where he was getting better at being in front of the net, tipping things in, things like that. But, you know, just getting the puck out of the zone is something that he's done pretty well at. And that's something that the team as a whole often struggles with. So, yeah, I think there's maybe a little something there, at least for what he's being asked to do. Mm-hmm. Another fourth liner, Sean Corrali.
Corrali is another guy to me that he's super noticeable some games and in other games he's not. He's a big guy on the penalty kill, which has been just awful after the first couple months of the season. What are his points look like?
He has 13 in 43 games.
That's not bad for.
Yeah.
What do you think in there? B range, B minus.
Yeah, and he, for you know, given his fourth line role, he's just a minus two, which I think is, you know, relative to what other people on the team are. Mm-hmm. That's not so bad. You know, Fantilli's a minus 21 by comparison. So, yeah.
You feel like seven even strength goals. You know, obviously he's not playing on the power play, but
yeah.
Fourth line center, that's not bad.
Yeah, and he's a guy that, especially compared to last year, I think he's playing a more appropriate role for him. His minutes are lower than I expected. He was, let me see here. Yeah, just 13.44 per game, which again, I think is where he should be. Like last year, it was higher than that. So I think the fact that we have enough other centers this year, the team hasn't had to play him farther up in the lineup, which is nice. So yeah, I think a solid B there for he's a good role player. And he's a guy, even, you know, when his contract is up, I think after next year, like if he wants to stick around on a series of short-term deals, you know, given that he's a local kid, he's a leader in the locker room, the guys seem to like him, like, that's a good kind of glue guy to keep around and who is productive in his role, you know? And the final forward is Yegor Chinnikov. I think he's another one that has to be pretty high here.
Yeah. He is tied for first on the team with Fantilli in 5-on-5 points. Number one on the team in goals in 5-on-5. He's the thing that strikes me about him is that he has taken a big step forward this year, mm-hmm. and being a more consistent player. Yeah. We saw the flashes of greatness last year, but it was inconsistent. We've seen it more consistently this year. I think you got to go an A.
Yep. And he's had the long stretches too, where he's been like putting up points every game. And the thing that's shocking to me though, is he's got 14 goals, that's second on the team, only one of them on the power play. Mm-hmm. You would think he would have been a much bigger power play weapon. And there have been times where he's been on ice when the power play scored, but he has not been the one doing it. And only one power play assist as well. That is so weird to me.
Yeah,
not for lack of opportunity, but wow.
Yeah, for me there, we have coaching issues there. You look, Patrick Laine was the same way early in the season too. I mean, there wasn't scoring power play goals. Marchenko, how many power play goals does Marchenko have? It's all been Boone Jenner, I feel like.
No, Marchi has.
I guess he does.
No, he has seven. He has seven power play goals.
The between the legs.
Yeah. Power play goal. Yeah, Boone Jenner has four on the power play. Marchenko has seven. So yeah, he's. Mm-hmm. He's been the big one there. So, all right, finally on to defense. Adam Boqvist.
Boqvist, he hasn't really stood out offensively like he did last year. But I, at the same time, I feel like he's been better defensively. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of give and take there. But I'm also not too sure that you can grade him too high. C+, B-. What do you think?
Yeah, C+ sounds right. I do think, yeah, he's been better when he's played, but he hasn't, you know, he's had availability issues, obviously, which, you know, is always the case with him. But yeah, and him as a partner for Werenski, like, yeah, that I like that. There's a lot to like about that combination, I feel like.
They were really good the other night.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Andrew Peak.
Got to be an F, right? Although he has played better recently. Of course, he didn't play the other night. But he's bad. He's really bad.
So we gave Bemstrom a D minus, maybe Peak a D minus as well.
That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. So a little bit of charity there, but yeah. And again, it's a case where he shouldn't be playing.
Yeah.
Like just that's simple. yeah, that's ugh. Okay. Damon Severson.
I think Severson has gotten maybe a little bit of a bad rap from the fan base. I think that he is better than the mistakes that you see him make on a frequent basis. He's actually number one on the team in Corsi at 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. And some of it, too, if you kind of just look through, some of it is his partners, right? He's better with some partners than others. I'm going to say B. What do you think? Too high?
Yeah, maybe. There's things about him that have been solid, but then the mistakes are so bad, which we kind of expected. But, you know, I think this is a case, too, where maybe not just relative to expectations, but relative to value and, you know, the length of his contract and everything. Sure. Like, you feel like, oh, some of these issues are not going to get better over the 7 years after this one. So I think maybe a B minus. We could maybe revisit that depending how some of these others grade out, but
that's fair.
Yeah. Another one we've talked a lot about lately, David Juracek.
He's young. I think that you have to kind of tamper your expectations a little bit because defense is such a hard position for inexperienced players. There's been games where he's been good defensively. There's games where he's been bad. He hasn't contributed much offensively. C plus, B minus.
Yeah, so has he been better or worse than Severson? Because we gave Severson a B minus. And I don't think we can...
Statistically, Severson's better.
Yeah. And Juracek is a... I think he's only... Again, plus minus not great, but I'm on Hockey Reference, so... but he is a...
Again,
He is a minus one in 36 games, which stacks up really well to everyone that's on defense that's not Zach Werenski, at least among the regulars.
Yeah.
Maybe him a B minus, Severson a B.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. Eric Goodbranson.
Goodbranson has been a lot better this year. Last time I looked, and this was a couple games ago, probably, he was first on the team in expected goals against per 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which shocked me when I saw that a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
but still, you know, still credit where it's due.
Yeah, still similar to Severson. It's the boneheaded moves, you know, defensive gaffes, I should say, that you see from him. But again, it seems like that's everybody on the team these days. Given the role that he's asked to play and that he has been – given that role more often by the coaches this season, I think, you know, making sure that he's not playing too many minutes. He has played a couple games with Zach Werenski due to injuries.
Yeah, he's fourth among defensemen in terms of average time on ice per game. Okay. So he gets a lot of penalty. He's obviously like the number one penalty killer among the defensemen, which, you know, that's probably his best role, but that's also probably still too many shifts for him. Mm-hmm. But
B minus.
I can go for B minus. Again, okay. again, a lot of that is just him exceeding expectations.
Yeah.
I would still like to move him to make room for other guys next season.
Yes, and if you want to your point about Severson, if you want to look at his term and his what he's making, $4 million a year for what we're getting from him is too much.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So
that's a good way to look at it.
Sure. Ivan Provorov.
Provorov had a really good start to the season. He was really good the other night, but there's been some lulls in his game. I feel like he's also another guy that he is prone to taking bad penalties is what I've noticed from him.
Mm-hmm.
What's his production been like recently? Cause he was off to a really hot start. It looks like it's slowed down quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, he was leading the team in points through most of October.
Mm-hmm.
Let me pull up his game logs here. Oof, yeah, he is currently on a 8-game pointless streak. He had a 2-goal game against Seattle, and then there were like he hasn't scored since then. There were like 3 scoreless games before then. He has cooled off significantly since start of December.
We've seen some of the same kind of issues with him as he had in Philly, right? When Zach Werenski's hurt and he's been asked to play a bigger role. More minutes, he's struggled. When he's the second pair guy, he's been a lot better, and I think that's where he is best. And I think that we've seen that him play better since Werenski's been back. But I still C.
I could go C+.
Okay.
Again, we're being maybe a little more optimistic on the defenseman than I thought we would be.
Yeah.
But I think the worst. He has been a good add for the team. I think it's been good to have that depth, that veteran depth on the left side. We had a hole to fill, and I think he's filled it. I think he has done enough to increase his stock so that he will have trade value, whether it is, next month, whether it's in the summer, at some point next season. Like, he's definitely going to get dealt at some point before his contract is up. But I think we're going to be able to recoup a pretty good amount of what we paid to get him. And with LA having retained part of the salary too, he is paid, or his cap hit is very much in line with his production, if not, a little bit above value there, or he's playing above the value there based on his cap hit. So yeah, I'm fine with him. Jake Bean. He's been another interesting case this year.
I think Jake Bean has flashes where you see why he was a first round pick. Was it Fert right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's times where he's scored some goals and you go, oh, that looks like it's Adam Boqvist or Zach Werenski out there. But then he disappears. He's not good defensively. I think the sooner that there's a better player to replace him, the better off the team is going to be, unfortunately. And I don't think that he's been good for most of the season. D+, C-.
And again, I don't know why I'm feeling optimistic here. There have been enough good games from him that I think I'll give him a C-. Again, like, is there a future for him here? Not really. Has he at least been able to contribute in what he's been asked to do? Yeah. And I don't feel like
he's also another guy that's overpaid.
Yeah. But also, he's not one that he's maybe not contributing as much positive as you'd want to see, but he's also not doing as much negative as a lot of these other guys are. You know, how many goals against you are going like, freaking Jake Bean, dude? Like,
yeah.
I feel like that's not it. Or when he has been on for that, it's like, oh, well, all right, he was making an effort play. Like, I get what he was doing, but yeah. So that's C-, I think. Yeah. And then Zach Werenski. Again, big money, big role. Has he lived up to it?
I have a hard time with Zach Werenski. Mm-hmm. I think you can make an argument that he is the most important player on the team.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
The team plays better when he's in the lineup. They play worse when he's hurt. He doesn't live up to his salary, especially offensively. But he is the glue that kind of holds the team together, to be honest with you. He's the best puck-moving defenseman on the team. He's the best power play point on the team. He is good defensively. I think the system has hurt him. I'm not sure I can go lower than a B.
So I was thinking even B plus or even A minus, but maybe B plus is better. So offensively, he is extremely snake bit.
Yes.
He has one goal in the season that was in late October, but he's shooting 1%.
No 5-on-5 goals.
It's not for lack of trying, though. He's getting the shots off. They're just not going in. But he is also producing a lot of assists. He leads the team in assists, 28 in just 39 games. So he's missed chunks of games, but when he's in there, he is producing assists. He's making his teammates better. Him in the lineup pushes Provorov out into an appropriate spot. Like, is he overpaid relative to the league? Yes. But he's paid like a number one defenseman, and he's clearly our number one defenseman, and he's number one defenseman because the defense sucks. Like, even as the defense is going to get better, I think he's still our number one defenseman. So,
so as we're kind of getting into this too, it's hard to, when the team is as bad as it is, it's hard to grade these guys. I think Zach Werenski, you take him and you put him on a good team, how many points do you think he puts up?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'd be a 50, 60-point guy at least.
At least.
Yeah.
With good and good on defense. There's plenty of defensemen in the league these days that are good on offense and terrible on defense.
Right.
I think you could make an argument that he would live up to his salary on a different team, a better team. So.
Yeah. All right. So I'll put him down for a B plus. So after adding all of this up, I have for the forwards a 2.82 cumulatively. So that's about a B minus for the forwards, which I think that sounds right. 2.31 for the defense. So that is a C plus. And a 2.35 for the defense, so also about a C+. So it gives us a 2.5 for the team as a whole. Now, before at the start of the show, we had said C-. Here the score is giving us, C+. So do you think we're off with our individual scores? Or do you think that there are factors that are making this team worse than the sum of their parts?
What do you mean by factors, PD?
Well, what do you think?
We've talked about it all season. This team is worse than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
We can sit here all day and talk about what the root cause of that is, whether it's on ice leadership, off ice leadership, coaching, roster management, whatever have you. I think that it's further proof to me that the team's being mismanaged in some way, shape, or form. It's worse than the sum of its parts.
Yeah. Which that I guess just adds to the frustration, but yeah, this has been a fun exercise. Yeah. And I feel like we're even, harsh on the forwards are definitely easier on the defense than I thought, but the defensive score still ended up being not great. So I think that kind of worked out. And I would, obviously I said this doesn't account for the different, minutes played, games played. That would certainly maybe tweak the scores a little bit. That would maybe be a little more accurate, but I think it shows too, there are pieces here to build around. And if you look at some of the highest scoring players, like B plus and above, we've got Cole Sillinger, Dmitry Voronkov, Kirill Marchenko, Matthew Olivier, okay, Igor Chinnikov, Zach Werenski. Those are guys that you can build a team around, except for Olivier, obviously. But
and this is wild to me. So if you actually look at the 5-on-5 points, Fantilli's number one. Yeah. Actually, Fantilli and Chinnikov are tied. Chinnikov has the most goals on 5-on-5. Voronkov is would be, I guess, third.
Mm-hmm.
Werenski fourth. Cole Sillinger tied with Werenski at fourth.
Wow.
Kirill Marchenko and Johnny Gaudreau tied at sixth. So, you know, you look at the 5-on-5 and Johnny Gaudreau being down the list, you know, that's a different problem for a different day. But to your point, these guys at the top of the list, Fantilli, Chinnikov, Voronkov, Sillinger, that's what you want to see. These are guys that are only going to get better.
Yeah, and that's your future. And then you also listed Werenski and Gaudreau, who, based on their contracts, they're also still part of the long term for this team. And so that group there, that's your core, right? Like, that's the core that you build this roster around. And I think you have to look at who fits around these guys. And if there's anyone on the team that doesn't fit, then you start looking into moving them, I think, and getting other guys in there that can serve those guys and can fit with what those guys are doing so they can continue being successful, continue to build upon what they've set this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, talk about a guy like Patrick Laine, who it's hard to look at his game and say that we have gotten the same Patrick Laine as we had the two seasons prior, which he was about a point per game player.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you add him to that group. And all of a sudden, you know, it's looking a little bit better for the future.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that for sure.
One more thing to say, PD, I think that, you're probably pretty excited about heading out west.
Yes. Yeah. I'll be out in California for some of those games, which I was, when I schedule came out, I planned this trip and I was like, oh, yeah, late February, it's a good time to, you know, escape Columbus winter. And here it's been unseasonably warm in Columbus and it's raining in California and will continue to be while I'm there. So not so much an escape after all. It'll still be good to have some time off. So
yeah, it'll be fun. That's a trip I hope to be able to make someday to see the Jackets play on the West Coast.
Yeah. So yeah, and look for me. I'll be above the LA tunnel in the LA games. So
okay.
Probably,
yeah.
I'll probably wear my Cannon jersey. So watch for that on the broadcast.
I have to watch the away feed for that one.
All right. So yeah, that's we got that coming up. So probably won't have an episode next week, but we'll be back after that to talk about all the stuff that's happening with the team, especially as we get closer to the trade deadline. So thanks for listening and we will catch you all next time.
For more content from the Cannon, check out jacketscannon.com or follow us on Twitter at CBJCannon. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and rate us wherever you listen to podcasts. Our theme music is the song Green Eyes by Angela Pearley and the Howlin' Moons. Angela's new album, Turn Me Loose, is out now. Go to angelapearley.com for more music and show dates.